Some of the other calls and comments coming through. A texter says that what's the story with all of these wasps? There seems to be wasps everywhere in towns across County Donegal. Is there a reason for this? I don't know. I have noticed being stung a few times, which hasn't happened since my childhood, which wasn't yesterday or the day before. But there does seem to be an awful lot of wasps around. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing or if it's something you've noticed. Text us 086 77 00 555. On to some of the other stuff we've been talking about so far this morning. It shouldn't be covered up if a death is by suicide. The banks are scared there may be a suicide epidemic as peer pressure of the banks. Another one on that. Pieta House is trying to get an office set up in Donegal for suicide prevention. The nearest office to us in Donegal is Galway. I think that's worth following up, actually. Such is the importance of that issue. Robin Williams' comment here now. There's so much talk on Robin Williams' death, and I understand that, but is it not putting suicide into the minds of people who may be going through the same feelings as he may have been feeling at the time? And that kind of was the thrust and purpose of the conversation with Mary Hart, I think, caller, because you talk about it, and what you're saying is quite correct. There is evidence to suggest that's the case, but you don't talk about these things and then, you know, I mean, there's a lot of intelligent people trying to come up with a way to have that discussion in the right way. And personally speaking, I'm not sure they've achieved that yet. But we're trying our best to be as sensitive but as informative there as possible. As it relates to Michaela McCollum, who's on her way back from a Peru jail in the next few months. Can't believe that girl's going to walk free after what she did. If she had been a bloke or middle-aged woman, would this story have courted so much interest from the press? I much doubt it. The crap she was smuggling would have brought misery, maybe death to thousands of people, and now she's about to walk free. This is so wrong. Half of that comment probably relevant. The other half isn't. She will serve her time, her full sentence, in a Belfast jail if she does manage to get home. So she's not walking free, but she's certainly, you know, being repatriated, I suppose, is the terminology. Farmers markets, this caller says, are too expensive. Went to one in Remelton and bought veg, and it worked out double what I'd get in a major store. I love the likes of these discount stores. They give very good value for money, and they have Dunnes and Tesco's to lower their prices, which is a good thing, talking about competition there. Murals, which we'll have a report on before 12 in Strabane. Congratulations to whoever painted the mural at Spring Hill. Instead of graffiti on the wall, it's something positive. It'll give teenagers something to discuss. The high volume of dogs on the streets needs to be discussed, says this caller. It should be compulsory to have these dogs microchipped. Are dogs on the street a particular problem in your area? Get in contact with us. Refarmers Market, who can afford to buy from these markets? It's treble the price you'd pay in a discount store. And another one on farmers markets, the prices may be expensive, but the quality is second to none. And that's the other side of that. So 086 77 00 555, contact the Weekend Edition here in Highland with Greg, or you can call us on 074 91 25000. A lot to jam in between now and 12 indeed. Gary is out and about from 12 to 2. He's in for PO today. Our very own Gary Gamble. We're going to hook up with him between now and 12 2 to see what he's got planned, which I'm sure is going to be plenty of crack and music and what have you. And also now, coming up after the break, before we do that, sorry, I'm all over the place, sixes and sevens. I should have had a breakfast, shouldn't I? We do have a chartered physiotherapist coming in studio, Lorraine Boyce, former guest on the programme. So if you're running the marathon that's taking place next week, or indeed if you are just starting your exercise regime and maybe you're hoping to get the marathon in a year's time, if you have any questions about warming up, warming down, what exercises are good, what exercises aren't, we're going to be talking a bit about core strength too and the importance of that. Get your calls and comments in now on that, and we'll get them to Lorraine for you. 086 77 00 555 is that text line for you once again. After the break, we're going to be speaking to Lifford's own Darren Gallagher. He's an author and he's got a brand new book which is being launched in Lifford this week. That's coming up for you just after this commercial break. Moving on now, and Darren Gallagher is an author from Lifford. He joins us on the programme. A very good morning to you, Darren.
Good morning to you too, Greg.
Darren, we're talking about your new book, Strings, which is going to be launched later this month, in fact, in the next couple of days. But before we talk more about that, is this your first offering?
It is my first book, yeah.
And what took you down the path of becoming an author?
I just have a very vivid imagination, and I just, everything kind of fell in place. I like to write, and it all kind of took off from there, you know.
So you would have written yourself, you know, for yourself and your own jottings and what have you. This would be the first time to make that big step, I presume, to publish your work, because then it's open for general scrutiny.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a wee bit nervous about that, to be honest, like, but this comes with the package, like, so I'm excited about it too.
So tell us how it came about. Have you been collecting these short stories and then decide to release them? Or did you say, right, I'm going to start writing short stories? What was the process?
I kind of took writing seriously in about 2008. And I had done a creative writing course from Kilroy's College in Dublin. It was a at-home kind of course. And from there, I learned just to write the short story and how to structure it and the seven hour. But then I started sending the stories out to small presses over in America, and they started accepting some of my stories, and then it leads you to write more and more, and it basically all came from there then.
And I suppose when you do start getting stuff published, it's when, you know, any self-doubt starts to go to some extent, and you go, well, you know what, maybe I'm good enough for this.
Yeah, true. But you still have had a little bit of self-doubt, but you put that to one side and keep focused on what you want to do, and go for it.
So what's your writing process? Do you come up sort of like with a beginning, middle of an end, and an end, and fill in the blanks, or do you start at the start and work your way on?
Generally, it's just an idea. It could be a very small thing, or it could be just a few words that I've heard, and I'll create a story around it. Then I usually start at the beginning and work towards the end. Maybe a few times I'll have an idea of where I want it to go, but generally, it's just start from the beginning and work on.
Now, the book is called Strings. It's a collection of 33 stories in the horror genre. Do you draw inspiration from any other writers?
Yeah, Stephen King was a big inspiration for me growing up. So I've read a lot of his. And then I've progressed the, like, authors like James Herbert and Neil Gaiman and, you know, just the big guys, like, you know.
There's a famous old story as it relates to Elvis Presley, and that he didn't really listen to other artists. I'm not sure if this is true or not, but he didn't listen to other artists because he didn't want to necessarily over-influence his own style. I often wonder, for writers like yourself, if you are a big fan of Stephen King and other writers, how do you stop yourself almost, you know, slipping into what you like? In other words, defining your work and it not seeming or not to appear obviously like someone else's, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, one of the things I've heard a lot throughout writing is finding your voice. And if you find your own voice, I think you still might be influenced a little bit by other writers, but if you're telling it the way you want to tell it, I think that's how you differentiate yourself from other authors, you know.
Tell us a bit about the stories. Obviously, there's 33 of them and we couldn't go through them. But where are you drawing your inspiration from, or where are these stories set? Does that vary?
Oh, yeah. There's loads of different themes and monsters and types of things throughout the stories. But, like, the inspiration comes from anywhere, really. Like, I mean, it could be, like I said earlier, it could be a few words. I had, I was given a trigger called Red Alert, and that was it. That's all I had to work on, and the story came from that. So it's just, it varies really. Like, but if something pops into your head and you get an idea from it, that's usually how it works. Like,
is horror a difficult genre to write in? I suppose you can, to some extent, you have to build the story and you have to create tension, whereas with comedy, I suppose, you know, you can write cleverly and throw in a few jokes here and there, but
yeah.
I imagine it's difficult to build the story, you know, to that crescendo that everyone expects from horror.
Yeah, it kind of is, but I don't know myself if I find it difficult to write. I love writing, and I just keep going, and I think from been around horror most of my life, I think it's just natural for me to take it that area, if you know what I mean.
And is this book self-published, or did you manage to get a publisher, or how have you gone about getting it out there?
It's a small press over in England called Nocturnal Press Publications. They decided to take me on, and I was delighted with that. So
And what is your goal? I mean, obviously, this is your first public offering, but you know, how high are your sights set?
Yeah, I would love to go to the top. I think it's anyone's dream, like, to always go to the top. And it's my first published book, but it's not the first finished. So I have an oral collection and a novella finished as well. So I'm hoping to get them out there sometime soon as well.
And of course, you know, people who like horror will want to get their hands on this book. Will they recognize any areas around the county or any of the stories or what portion of them are set or influenced by the locality?
Yeah, it's possible, yeah. There's one I wrote one night. I was walking with my dog, and I was walking through Lufford, and there's a housing estate with a built around a fairy ring, and I was just walking past on the main road, and I looked up and I seen the fairy ring, so that kind of influenced that story. So yeah, there will be some places maybe people will recognize, or
and maybe they'll make that connection. If you may have made a subconscious connection yourself, who's to say? What's the target audience? From what age upwards?
I had this conversation with my sister last night. I started reading Stephen King when I was 12 or 13, so you can't really force it on a young author, but I'd say teenage years up.
And moms and dads can have a flick through, and I suppose every child's different and has different thresholds and what have you. So it's taking place, the launch of the book's taking place in the courthouse on the 21st of August. Is it open to the public, Darren, will you be given a reading, or what way are you going to work it?
Yeah, it's open to the public. Everyone's welcome, and I will be doing a reading myself of one of the stories, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, Darren, look, we wish you the very, very best of luck and hope it's the start of really big things for you. And we thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning.
Thank you for having me on.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. It's been a real sense of celebrating Donegal's young talent this morning. We were talking earlier on about Mark English, his fantastic success last night, and Brendan Boyce. And then we just heard from author Darren Gallagher. And just a request for Darren, lots coming in, but just want time to mention this one. Good luck with your book. That comes in from McBride's, who are next door. And another amazing young talent joins me in studio now. Stevie, aka Rainy Boysley. Thanks so much for coming in.
How you doing?
Saturday mornings. It's not easy to stir musicians and artists, but no bother to you anyway.
I normally be going to bed at this time anyway, so
well, fine. Listen, I'm here to help, you know. Call me your mentor. It's been a fantastic year for you so far. In the spring, you signed with Universal Records, didn't you? Tell us about that briefly.
So I spent last year recording my debut album. So I was recording that with a producer from here in the town. His name's Ruben Keeney.
Mm-hmm.
So Ruben, because my stuff is very acoustic, Ruben's a DJ. Ruben was like the youngest DJ to ever play Ibiza. You know, he's a kick-ass producer as well. So, I mean, the marrying of both the styles it created this wonderful middle ground.
Was that difficult for you to move away from what you would say is your thing, the acoustic thing, or were you, I suppose, did it just feel natural?
It felt like pulling my eyes out, you know.
This is what I'm thinking, you know, because musicians can be very passionate, particularly about their genre or what they stand for or how they want to express themselves.
Yeah, well, your songs are your babies, you know. You want what's best for them, you know. But sometimes the sudden change in a style or a production of a song would just make you, whoa, you know, where's this going? But, you know, quickly realize then that this is going somewhere very fast. So spent all last year recording, mixing with Ruben, and ended up Universal.
How does that work? Do you send your stuff out, and or do you send it to Dublin? Where do you send it? How does the process of getting signed to a label work? Do I need to bring your manager in for this one? Did it just happen? No, I'm nervous. Go on.
It's a bit of nepotism, I suppose. You know, you need to, but it's all about the music, you know. They wouldn't be taking on anybody who they felt wasn't up to the task.
And there's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of people, fantastic musicians, who are out there playing the trade, writing great music. But someone like yourself that have a certain thing that the right person sits down and listens, and the light bulb, it's the light bulb moment, goes, right, we can, I don't want anybody to stand to monitor, we can make money out of this guy, we can make this guy a star potentially. I presume that's, you know, the process that goes on there. So between March and now, what have you been doing? Do you gig out there much, or have you been in the studio? Or
I've been writing my second album since then. So we've been doing some gigs as well. I was playing Glastonbury there.
That's not your first time you've played Glastonbury,
is it?
That's
the third time I've played Glastonbury. I've been touring with the Waterboys. So yeah, just keeping busy, doing bigger gigs than the smaller gigs, being nicely selective about it. Just getting everything in place now for the second, and well, there's some in there for the third record.
Do you get a lot of help with that now? I mean, would the record label plot a lot of this for you? Or do you still have to do a lot of that yourself?
There hasn't been any artistic interjection by the...
But even in terms of where you're playing and getting your gigs and all that type of stuff, do they want to get involved in that side of it, or are they just really involved in the, I suppose, the distribution of the album?
They're helping out as best they can in every aspect of the business.
Good. Well, you're going to play us a song, aren't you?
Yeah.
We really hope you are.
This is a song... on my Ambulance EP, which was out yesterday, so that's available on iTunes right now.
Superb.
And this is one of the songs. That's not the lead song, but it's called Your Face. 2. Come this far just to light.
Feel the magic all in our stride. To us, it was nothing too dramatic. Elaborate words just come out all sarcastic when I see.
Okay, yeah, Stevie, a genuinely fantastic sound there. Where can people see you live? Have you any gigs upcoming that people can catch you?
Yeah, I've got a gig in the Green Room in the Voodoo.
Great setting.
Brilliant room. That's at the end of October. No exact date yet, but it'll be the last couple of weeks.
Brilliant.
We'll let you know.
And your first album, available on iTunes, also the EP as well, or are they one and the same?
The album's not out yet, but the Ambulance EP is there. That's out right now.
Fantastic. And any idea when we're going to get a chance to listen to this album?
It will be very soon.
Very soon. Have you ever considered politics? But you can't commit. Exactly, but these things can be pushed out and pulled back in. But anyway, look, it's fantastic to have you in, and you are obviously a fantastic talent. We wish you really, really the best. That's Stevie there, also known as Rainy Boy Sleep. Thanks so much for coming in. Okay, 28 minutes past 11 this Saturday morning. Tons to come on the programme. We'll be back after the break.
One of the biggest nights of the year, Highland Radio's Holiday Show with the Stars, is on Tuesday the 26th of August in the Mount Errigal Hotel, Letterkenny, starring Jimmy Buckley, Declan Nerney, Brendan Quinn, Jerry Guthrie, Lisa McHugh, and the Murphys. With your compere, P.O. McCann, this promises to be a night not to be missed. Bring your friends with a special holiday price of €20 per ticket. Highland Radio's Summer Holiday with the Stars. Book today at highlandradio.com or your usual outlet.
Tickets are now on sale for this show from the Mount Errigal Hotel, Letterkenny. Hegarty's Home Interiors, Bonkrana, Simpson's Bar, Carndonagh, All Blooms, Ardra, McBrady's May Shop, Melmount, Strabane, Alexandra's Main Street, Bonny Buffet, Better Buys, Kerry Keel, Super Value, Dunlow, and here at Highland Radio. You can also buy your tickets through the events section at HighlandRadio.com.
Summer season of big country band nights comes to a close at Logues of Cranford this Tuesday night with Dancing to Jim Devine. That's this Tuesday night at Logues of Cranford.
How do you qualify to treat pain and injury? By completing a part-time training course in neuromuscular physical therapy with the National Training Centre in Dublin, Cork, Galway, Limerick or Donegal. For full details, visit ntc.ie.
NTC, see who you can be.
Greencastle Regatta and Festival, this Thursday to Sunday. Fun for all the family with many free activities for the kids. Live music with the big finale on Sunday night, it's Mike Denver. For more information, visit our Facebook page, Greencastle Regatta and Festival.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. Back in studio with us is Lorraine Boyce, chartered physiotherapist. Hey, Lorraine.
Hi. Good morning, Greg.
Not how you. We're going to be talking about fitness, about the marathon, what people should and shouldn't be doing. When is it next week? Is it?
It's next Sunday now at 10:15. Yeah.
Okay. What do you like? Gossip? Are you a fan of gossip?
Always, yes.
I like a bit of gossip as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. But Scottish boffins have found what constitutes good gossip. We'll chat to Lorraine in a second. Paddy O'Donnell's a professor of psychology at the University of Galway, who's been looking into this. Hey, Paddy.
Hello there, hi.
Thank you so much for coming on the programme with us. So what do people like, or what is good gossip as far as the public's concerned?
Well, good gossip is information that affects the person's social reputation and is of interest to the audience. So, for example, it looks as if Barack Obama has discovered Irish roots and is going to be visiting Ballybuffet sometime in the next year.
Bring it
now
on.
That's interesting because it gives you a new dimension to Obama, and it's obviously of interest to the people in the local area. But usually gossip is something that is either very negative or very positive and unexpected about the character. So revelations of misdemeanors constitute good gossip. Or if you take somebody who has an evil reputation like Simon Cowell, and you suddenly discover that he's been giving a third of his money to children's charities, that would be interesting gossip because it's a surprise and it shifts his social reputation upwards.
Did the study examine, you know, whether people feel bad about gossip? Because a lot of it, you know, it is going to be salacious, perhaps untrue, could be have reputational damage, but it still classed as an inverted commas good gossip. Do we know if people feel bad about that?
No, well, people vary. Some people are just more agreeable and more conscientious and, if you like, more moral. And they do make a point about not gossiping and not listening to gossip. But the point about that kind of, if you like, abstinence is that it indicates that it is very, very tempting. You know, we have to abstain from things that we all find tempting. And many of us just give in, like to the chocolate cake or, you know, watching the X Factor or whatever, or gossiping. So, yeah, people may feel a little bit guilty, but there's still this enormous temptation to provide information that either damages or enhances some famous celebrities.
Do you think that maybe is just people do it because it makes themselves feel better about themselves?
Well, that's true. I mean, one of the things that we all deep down resent, although again we try to control it, is the success of others. And particularly celebrities are enormously successful and wealthy. And anything that diminishes their standing takes them down a bit nearer to our level. And in that sense is reassuring.
So we put them up on the ivory horse and then get pleasure in knocking them down.
We do it all the time, don't we?
Do we know who's better or worse? I don't know how to phrase this without getting into trouble. Who gossips more, do we know, men or women?
Oh, no, they just gossip about different things. Women tend to gossip more about family matters, pregnancy, who's sleeping with whom and so on. Men gossip about how much other people earn. So one of the issues, one of the examples we had was how much does Terry Wogan earn, you see, or how much does Tony Blair earn? How much does a footballer earn? If you look at famous footballers, the first thing they say is how much they're earning. If you look at a woman, they're more likely to say something about her family or past lovers.
And there seems to be a grey line there then between what would be probably, you know, legitimate social commentary and gossip.
Oh, yeah, and newspapers ride that line very sensitively. And the big sellers, if you think about it, are the ones that just stray on the wrong side of that line.
Do you think the Cliff Richard case is a case in point? Because it is, at this point, arguably gossip. You know, I mean, we talked about this early in the programme, so we won't get too deep into the rights and wrongs of that. But, I mean, the tabloids are peddling effectively what could fall into the category of gossip at this point.
Yeah, and it's something that damages the reputation of somebody who's been well-respected for, you know, 40 years. And that's why it's so powerful. I mean, if the gossip was about somebody who was not known or somebody who already had a damaged reputation, you know, that information would be less relevant. But because it's somebody who is a Christian and on the surface seems to have led a very positive life.
Okay. Is this study available online, Paddy? Because there's so much we could get into, or has it been published in full anywhere?
Yeah, it's published in Plus One. And if you like, we'll send you a copy of the article and the press release.
Super. Okay. And we'll fire that up onto the Facebook page and what have you, and we can have a good gossip about it there.
Okay.
Paddy O'Donnell, thanks for chatting to us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, that's Paddy O'Donnell there, who's a professor of psychology at the University of Glasgow. Lorraine Boyce still in studio with us. Lorraine, the half and full marathon takes place next Sunday, 24th of August. If you had no intention up until now, until taking part, it's a bit late, isn't it?
It's a little bit late, yeah. You need to have substantial training. It's a massive feat to take part in either a half marathon or a full marathon. So it would be unwise to throw yourself into it.
So what should we be doing in the last week? We're content that whether we're taking part in the half marathon or the full marathon, that, you know, we've on a week-by-week basis, we've built up as, you know, we'd expect to and should do. So we are prepared in that regard. So what should we be doing for the last week? You don't want to over
No, it's the temptation to overtrain is one you have to definitely avoid. Really, you've got your miles covered. You're just literally maintaining your fitness. So you're doing some easy runs, keeping most of them to the start of the week rather than the end of the week. You're just keeping your body warmed up and flexible rather than pushing the miles. You're trying to keep your energy reserves up, so you're trying to rest as much as you can, get enough fuel into your body as well. You're trying to make sure your food that you're consuming is carbohydrate rich, and rather than being tempted to overeat, eat more than you normally would, it's more just about getting the balance of proportions of carbohydrates within your food right. So maybe 65 to 70% carbohydrate, especially the night before the run, avoiding eating too much, because I suppose then you're looking then at not feeling too heavy and sluggish on the morning of the race itself.
And I would imagine, you know, if you've put in weeks and months of preparation into this type of event, or if you're generally healthy and you're very much looking forward to it, the worst nightmare would be if you were to succumb to injury, either, you know, in the days leading up to the event or in the early stages of it. So are there things we should be looking out for there?
Yeah, if you have an injury, I mean, it would be advisable to get it checked earlier in the week. I have myself a session on Tuesday night in my clinic at 7:30. For anyone with any concerns, niggling injuries, queries about warm-up stretching, they can come along for free and get, you know, some advice and instruction there. Otherwise, just to keep the routine, you know, to make sure that the running shoes they're wearing are the same, to make sure that they have good kind of double lane socks, so you're not going to risk blisters, things like that. I mean, if you have an injury, you can, if it's not too bad, you can run through it, but you just have to make the most of it, really.
Yeah.
It's disappointing, you know, if you come up against an injury in the after so much work and so much training.
Yeah. Exactly, because, you know, that's a lot of your life has been put around your training.
Absolutely, and the mindset, I mean, it's the mental focus and preparation you put in the weeks running up to the marathon as well, not just the physical training. And for something to happen in the week of the marathon is always very disappointing. And actually, for a lot of people, they are very focused on the day of the marathon and the run up to the marathon, having one goal, maybe beating a certain time, something like that. And it's very good to be focused and to mentally rehearse things and mentally rehearse going through the course, but also having maybe a backup goal in the back of your mind that on the day of the race, should you have an upset stomach, should you have an injury worry that's holding you back, that you have a second goal that in the back of your mind that you're happy and content with as well. You don't want to reach mile 16 and have all along been focusing on maybe coming in
so
under
say
4 hours.
10 miles would be an achievement, and are you on about sort of make compartmentalise it?
Yeah, you can do a few things. You can break it down into manageable chunks. You can kind of think, okay, well, I'll try and get, you know, focus on one aspect, one kind of have a focus up until one point in the race and then maybe change your focus. But even just on the day of the race, I've seen people before who might have aimed to do it under 4 hours, and then maybe something happens on the day that they have a sick stomach and they just come to about 10 miles and they realise they're not going to reach the 4 hour mark, and they get very discouraged and they tend to, you know, really struggle then mentally in the last part of the race. So even, you know, have maybe a primary goal and then have a secondary goal that you're willing to fall back to, that you still can keep yourself motivated towards the last part of the race, because that last few miles are very tough.
What about the wall? People talk about the wall when they're running marathons. How do you get through that?
Yeah, it's everyone has their own wee tricks.
My wall would be 500 kilometres.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Sorry, half a kilometre.
Half a kilometre. And, well, the wall.
I've hit the wall.
The wall can hit a lot of people. I suppose the main way you can beat the wall is to make sure that you have a good carbohydrate rich breakfast that morning, 2 to 3 hours beforehand, so that you're stocking up your stores of energy or glycogen. And that, you know, that means it's almost like filling your petrol tank before you go on a long car journey. You know, if you don't have enough fuel in your system, you'll not be able to keep going. You'll run out of energy. You'll get I suppose dehydration as well, making sure that you have enough fluids in your body as well, that you have enough energy.
And a lot of this is common sense, but, you know, if your mind's so focused on one thing, it's very easy to forget these things.
It is.
I want to talk about this Tuesday night thing, because it's a great service you're offering. As you say, it's free. Where is your headquarters based?
My clinic is down at O'Boyce's Corner at Station Roundabout.
It's called where?
It's at O'Boyce's.
O'Boyce's.
O'Boyce's Corner. Beside.
Did they name it after your place? No.
Well, it's just a nice coincidence, really. Just a very nice.
So it's O'Boyce's Corner.
O'Boyce's Corner.
7:30.
7:30 on Tuesday evening. Anyone is welcome, whether it is the Donegal Marathon, Half Marathon, or even if there's another event that they're training for coming up. Anyone can get exercise advice at that session. It's part of my charity physical activity campaign. And so I'm helping others to exercise more efficiently, to encourage them to come along.
Now, one of your big things that you advocate, and you spoke briefly about it the last time you were on with us, is core fitness. Explain what that is to us and the importance of that.
Yeah, the core fitness, when you're running, especially a long distance event like a half marathon or a marathon, you need to have good technique and good form. And you can start off the race having good technique and good running technique, but you know, midway through it, as you tire out and fatigue, your technique might start to fail.
When your posture starts going.
Yeah, when your posture starts going, your muscles start to tire out, and then that's when you risk injuries. If you can imagine that when you run, your pelvis moves and shifts slightly. So it moves slightly forward and back, slightly side to side, rotates side to side. And that's natural. But if you have weak core muscles, your pelvis tends to move a little bit too much. It moves forward and back too much, or rotates or tilts side to side too much, and it's unstable. And that's when then you risk overloading your knees, overloading certain calf muscles. So if you can train your core stability muscles, your lower abdominals, your lower back muscles, to hold your pelvis nice and steady as you're running, you have a more efficient running.
And is there anything in ahead of these events, obviously you're talking about your legs and your endurance and what have you. I presume, though, you can better prepare your core ahead of these events, can't you, rather than just trying to maintain that posture late in the day?
Absolutely. I mean, it's I suppose with a week to go, you can still focus in on it. But for anyone doing this event now who has had a lot of injuries in the run-up to it, if they're considering maybe doing this again next year, in good time, maybe get into a good core stability class, a Pilates group, any kind of core stability for fitness. There's a lot of classes out there, and it's definitely worthwhile.
Brilliant.
In terms of deep hip muscles and your lower abdominal muscles and the muscles that support your knee, they'd be the key components.
And you said the last time you're doing the half marathon, are you?
Well, I have had a whiplash injury 3 weeks ago, and I've had a chest infection last week, the tail end there. So I've been knocked out of the running for my own half marathon.
And you've had you've been through the mill, as they used to say.
Yeah.
But you're still going to be fighting fit on Tuesday evening, 7:30 p.m. at your clinic. It's free instruction session for preparation for the half and full marathon, and also general. Maybe if you want to start, it's a good place to start if you're going to do what so many people are. So that's 7:30. And where can people get more information about the work that you're doing, Lorraine?
The information will be on the website as well. And I have a physical activity charity campaign happening at the minute for the children's ward in the hospital. And I'm aiming to raise 10,000 by Christmas, and there's 10,000 euro. And there's a lot of demonstrations like this ongoing in the next few months. So
well, we'll speak to you between now and then, obviously. Yeah. And so search, what is it? What's the?
Lorraine Boyce, physio.ie.
LorraineBoyceFysio.ie.
And also there's a lot of great information on the Donegal Marathon website as well. And there are two things about the Donegal Marathon. They're calling for volunteers to help out. They need over 100 volunteers to make the event efficient on the day. They need people to steward, hand out race packs. There's an information evening on Monday night at the Station House Hotel at 7 p.m. Everyone's welcome to come along and find out more information. Refreshments are served on the night. And also then, on the day of the marathon, there's a lot of activities lined up for after the race. It's a family fun day. There's going to be stilt walkers, fry readers, things like that. And there's going to be a football blitz. There's a lot happening. So just encourage families to come out on the day and just support anyone doing the marathon.
It's going to be a great buzz, because, you know, you have the competitors, but then you have the sort of the buzz that goes along with that. We'll be speaking about that throughout the course of the week, of course, here in Highland Radio. But for now, Lorraine Boyce, chartered physiotherapist, thanks so much for coming into studio with
us. Thanks for having me.
Treat yourself or a loved one to a Clarence Gift of Beauty at McGee's Chemist, Main Street, Letterkenny. Right now, Clarence Beauty Consultant Fidel McKelly is in-store offering one-to-one skincare and makeup advice, and is available for bookings until this Saturday. Call 912-1409 now. Also, when you buy two or more Clarence products to the value of €60, you'll get three generous deluxe travel sizes free.
McGee's Chemist, Main Street, Letterkenny, where the best costs less.
Foy's massive summer sale must come to an end. Foy's, the experts in paint and home interiors. Foy's friendly and expert staff are always ready to help. Foy's is a place to visit. Don't miss out. Sale ends Saturday. Foy's, Port Road, Letterkenny and Main Street, Ballybuffet.
Whether you're looking for a spacious, safe, award-winning 7-seater family car or a smaller car with state-of-the-art technology, low road tax and low running costs, the Citroën range have it all. Now, with 0% finance and fixed monthly payments on finance packages to suit you, there's never been a better time to test drive a Citroën. Call into Highland Motors, Canal Road, Letterkenny. Terms and conditions apply. Deposit required. Elect3 finance is open to applicants aged 18 years and over. See highlandmotors.ie for further details. We'll be right back.
Don't let the weather spoil the fun this summer. At Lurgybrack Open Farm, there's loads to see and do, indoor and out. New attractions include a huge jumping pillow, only the third of its kind in Ireland. There's zip wires, slides and a climbing wall. Also indoor and outdoor picnic areas, a cafe and, of course, all the animals. Lurgybrack Open Farm, Letterkenny. Open every day from 10 to 5. Visit lurgybrackopenfarm.town.ie or like us on Facebook.
Coming up between 12 and 2, our own Gary Gamble's out and about. He joins us now to give us some information. Gary?
Yes, Greg.
How are you?
Good morning to you. I was going to say good afternoon.
You're sounding good and lively anyway. I'm very well. Where are you?
We're in the village of Caledar, right in the heart of Castledarrig in County Tyrone today. And it's as part of the Caledar Fair. We're here for one of Ireland's largest and oldest fairs for our outside broadcast. It's the P.O. McCann Show today. And P.O. is on a well-deserved holiday, so I'm standing in for P.O. today. Hopefully I'm going to do good as a job, just Greg.
And loads coming up between 12 and 2.
Yeah, loads of interviews with local artists, a lot of singers, and Philomena Begley. Looking forward to that one today because Philomena is celebrating 50 years on the road.
What an achievement.
And yeah, it sure is. And looking forward also to meeting some of the locals and getting out and about and stuck into it, Greg.
Now, are people welcome to come down and say hello? Of course they are, Gary.
Of course they are. I wouldn't say no. There's plenty of wee giveaways here today, Greg, as well. And there's people gathered already. There's seats here and the crowds are starting to come along. So good.
And a fantastic buzz, and it's only going to increase throughout the course of the morning and afternoon. Gary, we look forward to it from about 12:05.
Great stuff, Greg.
Bye, Gary. That's our very own Gary Gamble. Great show lined up between 12 and 2. You can be sure of that. Now, it's made national and international headlines, these murals that have popped up in Strabane that are in support of the people in Gaza and what's going on over there. George Galloway, the MP, he has certainly been highlighting them to a great extent as well. Well, our own reporter Barry White went out to learn a little bit more.
A group of artists in Strabane have recently been making a name for themselves. It's after pictures of a mural they painted in the Townsend Street area of the town went viral online.
My name's John Carlin. I'm responsible for doing the artwork on the mural there in Strabane. We done a fundraiser just in the whole Heddle Town area of Strabane here just, and we raised almost £300, and we spent about £150 on paint and art materials. And the other £150, there's a fundraiser being done at the minute with a local bar, and we intend to put our money to his money. The mural is basically a photograph or a picture of a child holding a teddy bear, and then in the background there's a helicopter, an Apache helicopter coming at it, firing a rocket at a child. They symbolise the might of the Israeli forces against the Palestinian people.
John Carlin and a group of five of his friends came together and painted a mural to show their support for the people of Palestine.
The local opinion on the street, people don't want this. It's the governments who are scared to act against Israel. But the local people on the street are standing up and fighting for the rights of the people, you know.
Do you feel there's a special connection between Strabane and the people of Palestine?
In a way, yes. We didn't suffer as much as what the people in Palestine are suffering, but through the conflict there, the past conflict, the people of Strabane suffered as well. We were neglected and suffered and marginalised, and people sort of identify with that.
A picture of the mural was put up online by a local photographer last week, and since then it's been shared around the world by thousands of people.
It's been all over the world. Malaysia, Finland, all the European countries, Gaza itself, Mexico. That's just a few that I've known about, but apparently it's gone right through the whole world, you know, America as well. And there's one site there of over 20,000 likes on it. I never in my wildest dreams did I think that it would go widespread, you know, over the world.
My name's Mark Diver. I was one of the people who helped paint the Gaza mural, Strabane. Proud in a way, you know, that you'd done something, you know. Our view on it was like, you know, to sort of, to symbolise Strabane, our answer to it. I know it's went round quite a few countries there, like, and Al Jazeera has picked it up.
As well as being shared and seen by thousands of people around the world, the mural has also been praised by British MP George Galloway.
Beautiful. A thing of beauty is a joy forever. And I think that Ireland, with its history of being an occupied country and having to struggle for unity and independence, is perfectly placed to understand the Palestinian plight. And that's expressed very artistically on murals. The latest of which is in Strabane, and I salute the good people of Strabane. May God bless your hands. You've done a wonderful thing, and it's a joy to see it. And the people in Gaza who have also seen it have had their hearts lifted by it.
And the Palestinian ambassador to Ireland, Ahmed Abdelrazak, is also aware of the mural, and he has also been full of praise for the artists.
The support, you know, it's warming. It's you feel you are not alone. You know, that's we encourage you to continue to your struggle for liberty and for justice. The most important is, which is the most important for any people in the world.
The artists say it means an awful lot to them that the people of Gaza are aware of the mural.
It means to them and to us that they know that the rest of the world is with them. You know, the rest of the world is thinking about them. The rest of the world is praying for them, praying with them for an end to this conflict.
I seen a picture there the last day on Facebook, and it was a picture of a fellow in Gaza with a big sign, "Thank you, Ireland." And to me, it's just the gratitude, you know, maybe they make a connection with them people and let them know that we are thinking about them.
And the Strabane artists have said the mural is not a one-off, and they do have more planned going into the future.
We've done one in the Ballycommon of Palestine as well. Well, I plan to do more, but different themes.
I suppose Derry's got the famous bogside artists, the Strabane now of their own famous artists.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but we're getting there, we're working on it.
Okay, that report compiled there from Barry White. Now, some requests for Caitlin Stelges and Kerry Keel. Happy second birthday to you. This comes in from Auntie Anne, Keelan and Alana as well for you. For Albert Patton and Georgina Pollock getting married in Stranorla today, Howard and Hazel Mahan send in their best wishes to you. Albert Patton and Georgina Pollock getting married again. This time it's, well, not get married again, still the first time, but the request again for Paul, Alison, Kelsey, Caden, Stewart. And another one finally for a very popular Albert and Georgina. Good luck on your wedding day from Paul Mahan. Right, coming close to the end of the programme. We've loads of your calls and comments to get through. We'll be doing that after this quick commercial break. Now, you're very welcome back to the programme. Now, best wishes to Jennifer Smith and Michael McCandless on their wedding day from Ellie, Keela and Leah. See you at the church, says that caller. In relation to dogs and the amount of dogs out on the streets, a caller was on about that a little earlier on. Well, this texter says, dogs pooing everywhere is the problem. There's not a footpath in Lifford you can walk without stepping in it. The owners are the problem. They don't carry a bag to pick it up. Also, no litter bins to put it in, they say. A texter says, I believe there are more wasps around because there's no funds in the council's purse to cut the hedgerows and more weeds around for the wasps to survive. So blame the council if you get stung. I got stung twice, so I'll blame them twice, I suppose. Why is your show not repeated on a Saturday night? Well, the programme's available to listen back online if you have that facility. And I'm very conscious that not everybody does. But if you do have the ability to go on our website, the show is available for you to listen back to pretty much as soon as we go off air. It's in the listen back section or in the entertainment section. Reed Cliff Richard, the publicity about this raid is just a scam by the establishment to help one of their own. If a trial does go ahead, it will be argued that there was too much publicity and Cliff will walk free. That comes in from Patsy and Anagree. Another one on that issue about whether people should be named before they are actually charged with anything. Jim Davidson says this caller was found not guilty, but look at what his family and friends went through, not to mention himself. Yes, these allegations must be investigated, but no one goes to trial without evidence. Then it needs to be out there. Yeah, but the difference is, or the problem is, isn't it, that the name's out there before it even goes to trial. But that's all the time we have on the programme to discuss that. Our thanks to everyone who came into the studio and took our calls on the phones, and particularly to everybody out there at home and wherever you are today, be it work, that listened to the programme. Gary Gamble's coming up on the Pio McCann Show from Coletta. Fantastic show lined up for you between 12 and 2. I'll be back with you on the weekend edition next Saturday from 10. A special thanks to Yvonne McFadden, who produced today's programme. For me, Greg Hughes, have a very good and a very safe weekend.